Our gospel reading today is from the gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 38 to 50. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon after to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of our Lord. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. God's grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading today begins with the disciple John coming to Jesus with the news of someone who is healing in Jesus' name. But as John puts it, he is not one of us. John probably expected a pat on the back for bringing this earth-shattering news to Jesus. "Good work, John. We certainly can't let this sort of thing happen." But of course, this is not what happens. Instead, we hear Jesus declare, "Whoever is not against us is for us." Jesus takes this even further here by declaring that even the smallest of acts, like giving a cold drink of water in his name, will be rewarded. This builds upon the previous teaching of Jesus in Mark's gospel concerning discipleship. The disciples were likely thinking once again that they were the insiders, that they were Jesus' dream team. After all, in chapter 3, Jesus appointed the 12, whom he also named apostles, to be with him, and he sent them to proclaim the message and to have authority to cast out demons. Again, in chapter 6, we hear Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. Yes, Jesus had given them authority, responsibility, and a glimpse of his glory. But now Jesus makes it clear that despite this, a power structure has not been set up, other than the fact that he, Jesus, was the one they were to follow. And it was his name, his power, that was to be proclaimed. As our gospel reading continues in verse 42, we hear Jesus focus on the little ones who believe in him. After all, from every indication, as recorded in last week's gospel text, Jesus still has a little child in his midst as he teaches, possibly even sitting on his lap. Jesus warns against believers putting a stumbling block in the way of these little ones, or anyone. The Greek word used here, translated stumbling block, is the word scandalozo, where we get the word scandal from in English. There are times when we get lectionary texts, like today, where any part of it that is offensive to people is left out. today that is not the case. Our reading continues with a reference to murder by the way of a stone being tied around a person's neck and being thrown into the sea. It also includes more than one reference to maiming and a couple different references to hell. This is followed by Jesus declaring that in hell, the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. While these words of Jesus in our gospel reading may in themselves seem scandalous to us, speaking of murder and maiming and hell, the people of Jesus' day would have recognized these as metaphors and not as literal commands. While Jesus is not literally suggesting that his disciples remove offending parts of their body, he is declaring that there are things that are much more important than physical life and wholeness when it comes to being his followers. It's helpful to look at the word hell used here as well, which is literally the word Haman, which refers to a valley outside of Jerusalem that was a well-known place for child sacrifice and idolatry. This is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 27 and Jeremiah 32. In Jesus' day, it was an area used for burning trash and often as a metaphor for divine punishment. This casts some light upon Jesus' statement concerning the maiming and the hell. These words are not so much about the hands or the feet or the eyes, but about the heart. Where does the heart lie when it comes to our actions, our inactions as disciples? Are they set on the one God or upon man-made idols in our lives? The bottom line here is this: the human heart is the body part that is in need of change. Cutting off limbs and poking out eyes will not get it done. And the human heart is only changed by God's word of grace in Jesus Christ. The disciples wanted to keep Jesus to themselves, to have a franchise on Jesus, but then Jesus teaches them that being a stumbling block, a scandal to others, is about not handing over the goods to people, not giving them the healing that they need, not bearing the name of Jesus and the forgiveness and mercy that is proclaimed in his word. Jesus declares, "If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you." Then comes the millstone, the cutting, the tearing out, the throwing into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. Instead, we are called to proclaim that the guilt and shame that comes with sin are not just something that we reason with, that we try to figure out. No, we need to know that Christ is so serious about sin, so serious that he took it upon himself. He took it to the cross, putting the worm and the fear of the worm in each of us to death once and for all. Yes, the fear of the worm is put to death with the word of promise, the word that conquers sin, death, the devil, and the fires of hell, the word of forgiveness in Christ. It's a stumbling block, a scandal, to let the fear of the worm stay alive. Put the worry of the worm to death by trusting and declaring the forgiveness of sin and eternal life with God that is ours in Jesus Christ. This is the salt that we hear about in our gospel text. As Jesus declares, "You will be salted with fire." This speaks of the Holy Spirit that is purifying and forging fire in us. The world will certainly inflict its share of testing upon the followers of Christ and upon the community of faith. Jesus warns, but it is the Holy Spirit that serves to purify and forge, to refine us and make us stronger through the word of Christ. Jesus goes on in our gospel reading to declare, "Salt is good." Now, I must admit, it's hard for me to hear this statement that salt is good. You see, ever since my heart incident a little over a year ago, my cardiac education that followed surgery made it very clear that salt was not good for my heart. Yes, checking food labels for sodium content has become a regular activity for me, and it's simply mind-blowing how much salt is in the foods many of us eat. It is also mind-blowing how wonderfully salt brings out the flavor in food. I miss it. However, when we hear that we are to be salty Christians, we understand that we are to be those who bring out the flavor of joy and comfort that is in the Lord. A distinct flavor that is used to bring this out in others by declaring God's word of forgiveness and mercy, including the little ones, the least and the last of all. We are to be the bearers of the good news, the gospel that gives life to others, that puts the worry of the worm to death. This is the saltiness of the Spirit that purifies the sinner, that strengthens and forges one in faith. I remind you once again that there was a time in church history when in holy baptism, along with the water, a pinch of salt was placed on the tongue as well, reminding people of the call to be salt in the world as sinners saved and redeemed by Christ. The saltiness of the Holy Spirit sets followers of Jesus Christ apart from the world and makes us distinct as our tongues declare the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus sums it up in the last verse of our gospel reading. Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. The images we have heard of the worm that does not die and the fire that is never quenched are brought to rest through the gospel word of Christ. Yes, the good news of Jesus, the word of forgiveness and mercy, is not a stumbling block, it's not a scandal, but rather is the word of peace, intended by God to be shared with the world. Why? Well, because this salt is good, as it puts the fear of the worm to death forever. Praise be to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.